Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
Chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, God says, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10 says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's say amen to the reading of God's word. This afternoon, I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach with this thought in our hearts and in our minds, how to deliver a deliverer. How to deliver a deliverer. Father, we thank you for your word. The flower fades, the grass withers, but God, it is your word that will stand the test of time. We thank you, God, that your word is good all by itself. God, a good meat makes his own gravy. We thank you for your word, God, that is so powerful, so potent. God, is able to give us light in darkness, is able to give us life even in a dead situation. Thank you for your word, God, that where we live by. We don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Speak to your people today. God, there's something looming in the atmosphere. God, we pray, God, that you will speak to us today. Give us marching orders today. We pray, God, that where we'll be receptive. God, we pray, God, for ready hearts and ready minds. God, that we just don't take it or leave it, the word of God. But no, God, we stake our lives on what you have to say to us today. We worship, we praise, we've even given in fellowship. Now, God, speak to us. We're listening. Our ears, our hearts, our minds are open. God, the way you can receive, we can receive what you want to say to us. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus be against you. Have no place in our worship experience. We render you powerless even now. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say, let out an amen for me one more time. Amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. Make some noise for the internet audience. Everybody that's watching online. Thank you, Facebook. Facebook Live, amen. We thank God for you. Even if you're here in the service with us, we ask you to find our Facebook page, and we ask you to like it and also share what it is that we have going online. The more times we share, the more people can get the word of God, the more times the people of God can be blessed, amen. How to deliver a deliverer. How to deliver a deliverer. Moses, at this time, when we find him in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Moses was minding his own business. Moses was there doing what it is that he was doing. He was working in his occupation. He was, at this time, he was a shepherd, and he was literally watching the sheep of his father-in-law. Moses was just simply walking and wandering and leading his sheep to the pastures that he was supposed to lead them. But then something happened. As he's out there and as he's working, as he's leading these sheep, the Bible says that Moses saw a bush. There was a bush that was consumed. There was a bush that was burning. There was a bush that was literally on fire. Now, that's not so strange to see a bush on fire in the wilderness. But the strange thing about Moses and what he saw, this particular bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed. This particular bush was on fire, but it was not withering. It was the fire was not consuming this particular bush, but no, it was just on fire, on fire, on fire, on fire. And I speak that over the lives of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ and know the Lord Jesus Christ, that where here it is, whenever it is he lights my fire, my fan, my flyer, my flick, it never goes out. No, my burn, my candle, my flame never goes out. But can I tell you, God can set you on fire one good time and you'll be on fire for the rest of your life. I receive that in the name of Jesus, where God can set us on fire, to where we don't have to be pumped up. We don't have to be primed. But no, I bring a praise. I bring a worship. I bring my own fire because God has done something for me. So Moses sees this particular burning bush, and he sees this bush is on fire. And here, as he approaches this burning bush, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Moses out of the bush. And he says, Moses, don't come no further. He says, don't come no further. He says, take off your shoes. He said, because the place that you're standing in, the ground that you're standing on, is holy ground. What do you mean, God, that this is holy ground? This is just a desert. This is just a place somewhere that has animals, somewhere that has the terrain and have all the bushes and all these different things. But here God said, no, this is no longer just a desert, but no, this is holy ground. What makes it holy? What makes this holy ground? This makes this holy ground because anywhere the presence of God is, anywhere the Spirit of God is, it is now become holy ground. Anywhere that the Spirit of God dwells, anywhere, any place that hubs God's presence, any place that's an incubator for the presence of God, it is now holy ground. That's why I can't come to the house of God haphazardly, no, but I must come like the psalmist with my back straight and my head up, and I am to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I am to enter his courts with praise, because I'm not just coming to a place, but no, I'm coming to a place that is set aside and set aside, what other words I'm looking for, and saturated, that ain't the S I'm looking for, and I want consecrated, but that ain't the word I want, but it's set aside and sanctified, that's the word I want, set aside, sanctified, consecrated. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. Can I tell you that this place is set aside for God? We don't do a whole lot of other stuff in here. No, this is the house of God. This place is designed for worship. This place, this former pool place, God is not coming back for bricks and stones when he comes back for his people, but no, he's coming back for a church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church. And here, can I tell you, but wherever it is that I pray, wherever it is that I worship God, that place is set aside. I wish you had a place in your home that's set aside for prayer. I wish you had a place in your home that's consecrated only for worship. My wife has a spot, and you can't even come in her place, in her little spot in our home. It's my house. I pay the bill, but I can't come in there with my shoes on. I can't come in there with no casual conversation. Anytime I start talking about something that's not edifying Jesus, she said, come on, let's go talk somewhere else, because this is my secret place right here. I don't need nothing negative. I wish you had a place in your home that you can set aside for worship, a consecrated place. Maybe it's your car, maybe it's your sink when you're washing this, maybe it's when you're cleaning, maybe it's when you're cooking, but you ought to set something aside for God. That when no, I don't watch no TV in here. No, we don't argue and fuss in here. No, nothing goes on in this room, in this place, but worship. Come on, somebody. This is set aside. He said, Moses, take off your shoes, for this place, the ground that you're standing on, is holy, holy grounds, consecrated. And God pulls Moses in. He's minding his own business. When you're doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing, and you're being faithful in the small things, and faithful even in the temporal things, and faithful over those things that seem to be mediocre, can I tell you, it's there that God will meet you. And I, Moses is minding his business, and he has a one-on-one encounter with God. And this is what God tells Moses. It's my text, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 9. It's on the screen. Look what God tells Moses. He says, and now behold, look, Moses, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. Here, the people of God were in Babylonian captivity. They will be in Babylonian captivity. No, they're down here in Egypt. And they've been in Egypt captivity for 400 years. For 400 years, they have been in slavery. Here, they went down to this particular place for a place of refuge. They went to this particular place for a place for to be a safe haven, for them to be able to run from the famine. Joseph went down there. Joseph was second in charge. And it was a place of plenty. plentiful, a place that where the people of God can come and get some rest and they could be able to eat and God sustain them through the famine. But because the people of God continue to grow and because the people of God continue to get stronger, the Bible says that Pharaoh, that arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and he afflicted the people of God and made them slaves. Isn't it amazing how it can be a place that's supposed to be tranquil, a place that's supposed to be dedicated, a place that's supposed to be a place that's dedicated for the things of God can become a place where you don't have your peace and don't have your comfort. That's why the devil fights us so hard in a local church, because see, this is supposed to be your safe place. This is supposed to be the place you come to be able to get the worship and get the word. And then, but if he can get us bickering and get us fighting and get us not liking one another, you won't even enjoy coming to the one place you're supposed to come to get your peace. No, I'm not coming here to fuss with you. No, I'm not coming here to fight with you. I'm not coming here for no he said that, she said that, I thought that, I heard. No. I come in here, sirs, we want to see you. I need the word. I need the worship. This is my safe place. Their safe place turned into bondage. Their safe place turned into a place of turmoil. Their safe place turned into a place to where now they were slaves. And the people of God, the Bible says that their cry came out to God. God heard their cry. I can tell you the reason why many of us are still in bondage. I can tell you the reason why many of us are still in our aegis of life, because we've gotten so cold, we've gotten so callous, we've gotten so bitter that where we've lost our cry. The people of God never lost that. They began to cry. Things had gotten so bad the way they begin to cry. Things had gotten so tough that they begin to cry. Things have gotten so bad the way they begin to cry out to the Lord. Tears are not a sign of weakness, but no, tears are a sign of dependency. Oh, I told the earlier service, I said that whenever, I've always been little. Come on, y'all. I've been little for a long time. And here can I tell you, when somebody want to fight, when somebody, that ain't my first thing. Come on, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't want to fight, but if I have to fight, I'll do what I need to do. I try to hit you and run, try to do what I need to do. But can I tell you, if you will bother me in the hood and you mess around and made me cry, if you mess around and push me to cry, oh, you got something on your hand. When you come on, I may not win, but you're going to know you've been in a fight. Come on here, I may not steal you, but you're going to know you've been in a fight. Come on, you may stop me, but can I tell you, you're going to know you've been in a fight when you make me cry. And can I tell you that the enemy of our soul have pushed us, pushed our backs up against the wall so much to the point that where we're so bitter and we're so cold that where we don't call on the name of the Lord. No, God says when I call on him, when I cry unto him, he'll bottle up my tears. He'll bottle them up and he'll bottle them and give me accurate joy. Oh my God, for the tears that I cry. Oh, you want to come out of what you in? You better learn how to cry. You want to come, you want to be delivered? You want God to set you free? You better learn how to cry. I'm not just talking about crying tears, but no, I'm talking about talking to the Lord. I'm talking about coming humbly but boldly before the throne of grace, that you can obtain mercy and find grace to help. You got to talk to the Lord. You told your mama about it. Did you tell the Lord? You told your daddy about it. Did you tell the Lord? You told your best friend, your BFFs. Have you told the Lord? You need to learn how to cry. My God, I believe there's a group of people that's lost their cry. But the Bible says in verse number 9 that when the people cry, God says that he heard them. They've come unto him. And verse 9 says, I have also seen the oppression. Come on, that's good news, y'all. Church people don't know when to get happy. God says he sees your oppression. God says he sees the thing that's bothering you. God said that thing that has you bound, that thing that has you up at night, that thing that has you tossing and turning, that thing that has you pacing the floor. God says he sees your oppression and he's going to do something. Going to do something about it. Look at verse number 10. Verse 10 says, look what God tells Moses. He said, come here, Moses. I will send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, my people need a deliverer. My people need a leader. I don't care how deep you are, you need a leader. I don't care how much back you can know cover. The cover from front to back. Come on. Even your pastor has a pastor. Come on here. Hey, no matter how much you love the Lord, no matter how much you know about God, no, don't tell me. Come on. Thank you so much, sir. Don't tell me who you're over until you tell me who you're under. Come on here, somebody. I don't need to know about how many people you that come to your every beck and call. That's what that centurion soldier said in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 8. He said, I'm a man in authority and under authority. He said, I need my servant to be healed. Jesus went to go to bust a move to go to his house. And the soldier said, no, don't go to my house. I don't need you to come. He said, but just say
in a word. Just say your word. I understand because you're the captain of the Lord's army. I understand because you're the bishop of my soul. When you say something, things get in order, get in line. But God was trying. God wanted his people to be delivered, so he needed a deliverer. But isn't it a trip when the deliverer needs delivering? God had a word for Brother Moses, but before God could use Brother Moses, God needed to do a work in him and through him. And I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe I got the wrong message. Maybe I talk about singles again next week. Maybe I talk to the married folk again. I don't know. But I'm looking for somebody that God has a work for them to do. I'm looking for somebody that God has called you specifically and succinctly for a thing. Can I tell you that in order for God to use you greatly, good God, he has to wound you greatly. Yeah. In order for God to use you greatly, he must first wound. I never see a person that God uses greatly that he did not wound deeply. Oh my God, I wish I made that up, but I didn't. That ain't mine. It ain't original, but I take it today. Look at the book. Moses was a deliverer, but God needed to work on him. It's so funny that we want to work in the things of God, and we want God to work on us and through us. Hear me good, but we don't want God to work on us. Look, in order for me to be used to the optimum capacity that God wants me to be used, I must, it's on the screen, I must be delivered from feeling inadequate. I must be delivered from feeling inadequate. Let me tell you, because Moses was feeling inadequate. It's right here in verse number 11. Look at this divine dialogue between Moses and God. God has something for Moses to do, and Moses comes up with 5 excuses not to do what God has called him. Look at this divine dialogue. I'm so glad that God is so compassionate that he'll put up with my foolishness. I'm so glad that God loves me so much that he will wait on me to grow up. I'm so glad that God, oh my God, I'm so glad that God loves me so much. He doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater and he'll say, no, I'm working on him, and what he is not what he always going to be. I know you got it all figured out. I know when you first got saved, I know when you were born, rather, when you were born, your first words were shatada bohata. No. When I was born, my first words were mama and dada. But some of y'all look deeper than me. Y'all been saved before you ever been saved. But here, God waits on me. Look at this divine dialogue between Moses and God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, God said, I need you, Mo. Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I'm going to go to Pharaoh? Moses felt inadequate. Can I tell you that most of us are not active in the things of God because we feel inadequate? Can I tell you that most of us, and I'm not talking, when I say active in the things of God, I'm not talking about teaching and preaching and singing and playing. I'm not talking about what you see that we do in here. No. This is the sheep shed. This is the gas station. This is the filling station. We come here to get fueled up, to get fired up, to go into the mission field, to where I can do the real work of the ministry on my job, in my home, with my family. But a lot of us don't allow God to use us because we feel like we're inadequate. What's inadequate? Y'all are so attentive. God bless you. Thank you for being so attentive. Inadequate is lacking the quality or quantity required. Anytime you're around a great man of God, God knows I've seen it the entire time I've been saved. Anytime you're around a great man of God or a great woman of God, they make it look so easy. They make what they do look so easy. And you look at them, and then you know yourself, and you'll say, that ain't me. I can't do that. I ain't none of, come on, anybody ever pulled that? I ain't none of Pastor Card. Come on here. When you ready to cuss somebody, I ain't none of Pastor now. I ain't none. Come on, y'all, look at me. When you ready to give somebody a piece of your mind, I ain't none of, come on. My point is, then when you, and I'm not just talking about leadership and pastors, but here, whenever did you know what it takes to do real kingdom ministry, and then you know yourself, you know your shortcomings, you know your idiosyncrasies, you know that you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know your elevator don't go to the top floor. And here you're saying, I'm lacking something. I'm lacking quality. I'm lacking quantity required. In real sense, some of us feel like we're insufficient. We're insufficient. We can't do what it is that we need to do. We feel insufficient. Some of us, that's why some of our marriages don't work. Because when we come to the marriage, we don't know that we're whole already. I'm not coming to a marriage for somebody to complete me. Oh no, I'm coming. I'm whole already. This two shall become one. And here, when you enter a relationship and you feel insignificant, you cannot be used the way that God desires to use you. Here, this brother Moses felt unable to deal with the situation or with life. I'm looking for somebody who feels inadequate. You feel as if you can't do what God wants you to do. You can't start that business. You can't write that book. You can't go back to school. You cannot better yourself. You can't clean up your credit. You can't do what you need because you feel like you don't have the resource. You don't have the quality. But can I tell you where Moses messed up? Moses here was, listen to this real good. God was wanting to do something lasting and meaningful through Moses. Through Moses. To bless somebody else. But Moses was stuck because he was only thinking about his resources. Can I tell you that the reason why I feel so inadequate is because I'm thinking about my resources. If it was left up to me, I know I'm not smart enough. I know I don't have the funds. I know I don't know the right people. I know that I can't get hooked. But Moses is only thinking about his resources. But no, Moses, God is not trying to do what he's trying to do. He's not trying to use you to do something. No. God's trying to work through you to do something. God is saying, don't worry about your resources. You don't have enough resources. But I got everything. Come on here, somebody. God is telling Moses, I got everything you need. I can do this. I know you're incapable. I know you're not qualified. I know you don't know enough. I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. But God says, I want to use you. That's why Paul can talk boldly and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me, because it's all about God's resources. Moses said, who am I? So many people ask themselves that, who am I? God don't want to use me. I can't do that. I'm not my sister. My sister is so smart. I'm not my brother. My brother always was the cream in the crop. I'm just a little old me. And we disqualify ourselves because we know ourselves. Preach, Pastor Colby. I believe I will. Look. It's amazing this place that Moses was in. One thing I forgot to tell you. I'm so sorry. Moses was a seasoned saint. Moses wasn't no little tenderoni. No, Moses wasn't new to this. He was true to this. Moses was 80 years old. Here, truth and love. I thought we had seasoned saints, but we got spicy saints. Come on, somebody. We got hot and mild. Seasoned saints say you're mature. You're advanced in age. Come on, that Moses was 80 years old. But it's amazing, 40 years ago, Moses knew who he was. But now Moses is in a season of his life, that he lost himself. Moses in a season of his life. He 40 years ago, he thought he knew who he was. Exodus chapter 2. Just listen. Or if you got your Bible, it's not on the screen. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Just listen. Look what happened 40 years earlier. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens and saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Verse 12 says, he looked this way and that. Moses was a bruh, because he saw something going down. And before Moses jumped in, the Bible says he looked this way and looked that way. See, that's why we don't get nothing out of the word. You don't look at the word as if it was you. You come on, have you ever get ready to do something? You trying to see who looking? That's what Moses trying to look around, trying to see who looking. He said, the Bible says he looked this way and he looked that away, this away, that away. Moses looked this way and then that away. And then the Bible says, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and laid him in this and hid him in the sand. Moses killed this Egyptian. Moses was trying to help. All he was doing was trying to help, and he wound up